We're doing the Ein Yaakov, and we're up to page Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, the bottom of the page. And the Talmud had quoted this idea of gauging the people around you. If you're amongst people who want to learn Torah, you have a responsibility to give them of the Torah you know. If you're among people who scorn the Torah and are completely disinterested, you have a responsibility to value the Torah, honor the Torah, and not disseminate the Torah you know. Because if you're going to beg them to listen, and they're going to treat it with scorn, so then you're doing a disservice to the Torah by trying to force it on people who are disinterested. So that's the where we left off. And then we quoted from Bar Kafra. He said, Zalta kfots kne mina. If you see the prices are cheap, so then buy, because prices go up. And we gave an example. Before the drought, we said they're saying there's a surplus of grains. We gave this example before. They said that a third of America's grains went kaput. We said if the grain is cheap, go buy grain. Because even though the price is down now, the world changes, and the fact that the price is down now only means it's a good opportunity to buy. And obviously the inverse is also true. When the price is high, that's the time to sell. I was sitting today with a taxi driver. He said to me, 5 years ago the stock market was doing so well. I kept buying and making money, 1% and another percent. You buy for 100,000, you made 1%, you made 1,000 shekel that day. Day after day I was making money. And then I lost it all. He said, you can't make money on today's stock market. I said, what do you mean? He said, because the market isn't going up anymore. It's hit its highs. I'm thinking, I didn't want to tell him because it's probably bad advice. But I'm thinking, if it's at its high and it's hit its high, so now's the time to sell. You can sell a market short. I don't know the Israeli stock market. I have no idea what it's doing here. But I was going with what he said. That's not right that you can't make money. You just have to make money the other way. Okay, like I told him and he agreed. Almost everyone you know ends up losing money in the market. And he goes, every trader has his time where he thinks he's doing good, and then eventually he loses it all and he stops. I have a relative who was a top trader, a top investment analysis in one of the top firms. And when the whole market collapsed in 2008, he was being promoted, and they were begging him to continue. And he left. He saw how his CEO, who's making over $1 million a year in bonuses, at the tip of a hat was fired. And he said to me, look at the Wall Street Journal. Every year you have these people who made a mint. They don't make it to the Wall Street Journal next year. You have the year where, they were smarter than everyone else. Really. Or it was luck. Because you see, you don't get the same people on there year after year. So you read about the success stories. You don't read where they end up in the poorhouse. He, who was in the market for all those years, he said, 99% of the investors in the end are not well off. The investment firms that takes the money and tells you why it's worth your while and all their analysts, that was his job. They're making the money off of investments that are really, most investors are not making more than the market makes. So that's what the Gemara over here told us. Prices are cheap, that's the time to buy. So again, this is easier said than done because you never know when the market bottomed out. There are many times that you think, it's cheap. It's cheap compared to yesterday. That doesn't mean it's not going down further. So the Gemara said, Zalt, if the prices are cheap, kfots, force yourself to jump, knemina, buy some of it. Ba'atal delet gval taman, if you're at a place where there's no man, there's no leadership, heve gval. You be the leader. And I think I've told you the story. There was a city out in the Midwest where no one knew anything. So one guy showed up, he knew Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Didn't know how to learn a page of Gemara. But he knew how to read Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He became the rabbi. No other rabbi in town. He's the rabbi. He called up the OU and said, how do I make the butcher shop kosher? So they gave him guidance. Day after day, week after week, he got kosher meat into the butcher shop. Then he called up the OU and said, how do I make the mikveh kosher? They sent him a rabbi, made the mikveh kosher. He's the chief rabbi of the city. He called top educators and asked them, how do I make the education system here better? Got the education system better. You know what? He's their rabbi. doesn't know how to read a word of Talmud, but no one else does either. From their perspective, he's the rabbi, and you know what he is. He took the responsibility, he dealt with what they needed, till today he's their rabbi. And he changed the whole city around. So the kids there now realize that their rabbi doesn't know that much more than they do. But they have respect, because they know that thanks to him, they're Jewish, they're Orthodox, they're not intermarrying. If you're at a place that there's no one else there, there's no one else, you're on a college campus, no one else is giving classes, give the classes. I have a friend who went to the Hebrew U over here. A few guys asked him during lunchtime, could you tell us what the parsha is about? You know, we don't get to learn anything in university, tell us what the parsha is about. So he said, fine, we'll take 5 minutes at lunchtime. So he sat down with five guys, three of them don't wear yarmulkes, two of them do, and started telling them 5 minutes on the parsha. By the end of the month, it was 30 guys. Last time we spoke, he had 200 people every day at lunch, listening to him say 5 minutes on the parsha. Because if while you're eating lunch, you could hear about the parsha, and you don't know anything about the parsha, so it's fascinating. Someone's telling me about the parsha. He didn't go to university to be a rabbi. He's learning physics. He's an engineer. But ba'atal delet v'altaman, if there are no men around, you be the man. And very often you find yourself in places like that, and you have the responsibility to be the man. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, okay, but what do we understand from that? The inverse is also true. Shma mina, from here I understand, ve'atra de'it v'altaman, if you're at a location where there is a man, there is a boss, there is a rabbi, there is a leader, don't be a big shot. There's a story that Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the great giant of Europe, super genius, came to visit a town and they asked him to give a speech. So he's giving a very deep, evolved speech and he's going through the speech and about halfway through the speech he asks a fiery question and everyone's standing there stumped and the rabbi suggests an answer. Rabbi Akiva looks at the rabbi and he says, wow! You're right. You're right. That answers everything. That's amazing. And he sits down. So he stops his speech midway and everyone's amazed. And as Rabbi Akiva Eiger is leaving town, the rabbi comes and accompanies him out of town and he says, you know, I thought about the answer I gave you yesterday and it doesn't exactly hold water because of A and B and C. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, you're right. So he says, wait a second, you're not surprised. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, right, I realized that when you said it. So he said, then why didn't you say that? He said, look, whether I give the speech the way I want or not, makes no halachic implications. You know, the people listen to the speech, they're interested. But I'm going to leave. If I leave and you answered, and the people walk away feeling, wow, a rabbi knows something. So you will be able to impart more Torah to them. They're going to value you. What happens if you tried saying something and I explain to you why that doesn't work? So in the people's eyes, we have a nice rabbi, he's very good, but he doesn't come close to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, right? What we gain, what we lose. So I figured better when you said that, I said, okay, fine, let them walk away feeling positive. So I stopped my speech and I said, great, but you're right, that answer doesn't hold water. And then he went on to explain to him the rest of the speech that he was going to say. Abaye says, you're at a place where there's someone who has a position, don't challenge him. Be happy that there's someone there that has a position. Lo te'evei givam. Pshita. The Gemara says, well, isn't that obvious? What did Abaye have to tell me that? We have halacha, that when there's a rav, you're not supposed to give a psak. There's a rav in the place, let him answer. Answers the Gemara, lo nitzachalak sheshnehem shavim. We're talking about a place where you show up, and you see that he's no better than you. So now, should you teach or shouldn't you teach? The answer is, if he's no better than you, but he's no worse than you, be quiet. Ah, you're his equal, be quiet. What happens if you're better than him? What happens if you're a bigger Talmud Chacham? So, we had in our history three Geonim that were on a ship that was captured by pirates. And then they were sold into slavery throughout Europe. And this was one of the biggest blessings in Jewish history because they were sold to communities that had no learning. And those communities saw a Jewish rabbi taken by pirates, they bought them, and then they freed them. And then these rabbis started teaching Torah in those communities. And then they set up yeshivas there. And this is one of the great gifts Hashem gave us in Jewish history, that centers of Torah, these rabbis were located where there were already centers of Torah. But the fact that now they were shifted against their will caused the Torah to be disseminated like it hadn't been previously. And one of the stories is that one of those rabbis, they didn't realize he was a rabbi. He came into shul and the chief rabbi was giving a speech. And the chief rabbi got stuck. And he got stuck because he was misreading the Gemara. So he read the Gemara and he said, I don't remember, I don't understand pshat here, I don't know. So he's standing there thinking and thinking and thinking, and he couldn't get it. So he raised his hand and he explained to him pshat. So after the speech, the rabbi went down and started talking to him, and he realized he was more learned than him. And so the rabbi resigned and said, he knows more than me, he should be your rabbi. And that's the greatness of the honesty of big people. And he became the rabbi there, and he made the whole community flourish. And there's a similar story quoted in the Talmud, when Hillel came out from Babylon, and the chief rabbis were Bnei Beteira, the children of Beteira, and they were stumped with a halachic question, and Hillel came along and said the answer, and they said, you know more than us, we're resigning, and they gave Hillel the leadership of Israel. That's how Hillel became Nasi, because the chief rabbis recognized he knew more. So when you come to a city and you know more, so then you have to see whether you should do something or not. It's not only about knowledge. Leadership is also about political skill, and also about the capacity to connect with the community and teach them. Meaning, very often you have someone who knows a lot, but he doesn't know how to talk to people. And then he should not be in that position. Meaning, when the rabbis chose who should lead a community, they chose not only based on knowledge. The Nitziv, Rav Kook's Rebbe, right? Naftali Tzvi Yehuda of Berlin. When he was chosen to be chief rabbi in Volozhin, there were other rabbis who the rabbis felt were more qualified than him. But they felt that he was more sharp in knowing how to lead the community. So they appointed the Netziv chief rabbi. We're out of time. Time for supper. Okay.